Right. Talking about Inyanu Lavona, and we're basically going to ask two main questions, one which will occupy the bulk of the Chaburah, and we'll come back to at the end. And those are the relationship between the Lavona and the Chafetza Shel Mincha, and then the relationship between the Lavona and the Komitz. And this is going to be a great sugya. I think it's a real payoff for some of the work we've put in so far this year into defining what a Mincha is, the Chafetza Shel Mincha, the relationship between the Komitz and the Shirayim. So here we're going to talk about a new ingredient of the Mincha we haven't really discussed very much until now, and that is the frankincense, right, that gets thrown along with it. I think important to just remember, like from Matthias' perspective, even before we start, I'm pretty sure the Lavona was the most expensive part of the Mincha. Even though it was only like a little bit. You know, flour and oil is pretty cheap. The Lavona is very expensive. And so like that's just going to be worth keeping in mind. If we start by just looking at the Pesukim, before we get to the Gemara's, right, the Rashi Yud Aleph, our Gemara Yud Aleph, the Gemara Yud Gimel, the ones which are all atar.
How expensive?
Wikipedia said very.
Because it's funny, because the whole point of the Mincha is that it's supposed to be appropriate for a poor person.
Right.
So,
well, it's still not a gimme.
So I guess, you know,
it's significantly cheaper than an animal.
So a Komates, I guess, is not going to break the bank, but you're probably spending more money on your one Komates of Lavona than you are on your holy saron of flour and shemen. Right.
But a cow is also a lot.
Right. I think everything's relative. Everything's relative. But so start with already the Pesukim themselves. The Pesukim themselves seem to indicate a real difference between the Lavona and the rest of the Mincha. When the Chumash introduces the Karb Mincha, so it says, "So less yihia karbano." So that opening line of the pasuk makes it sound like primarily the Mincha is all about the flour, and then the pasuk continues, "V'yatzaka lehashem v'nasan ala Lavona." And we already saw earlier in the parak Rabbi Shimon on Daf Vav, who said that the soles is the real core of the mincha. And he said about the minchas chote that it should have shemen and lavona, so that we wouldn't have chote niskar, because he definitely saves money by not having to put in shemen or lavona. And Rabbi Shimon said, well, no, we don't want his carbon to be mehudar, so we're not going to put in shemen, we're not going to put in lavona. That line there implied that the real core of the mincha was the soles. And then, in addition, you have the shemen and lavona, and that's backed up by the way the Chumash introduces the karban mincha. But even progressing from there, there seems to be a major difference between the shemen itself and the lavona. I mean, we've seen this al pi din, because we know the din of blila, right? There's an obligation to mix the shemen and the soles together. Roi labila, not roi labila, whatever it is, but that's a din. We saw the Ravosh Salvechik, etc. We also have the fact that there are different types of menachos, and that first Karano at the beginning of the year who said, this is surprising, that the psul shalo lishma is dictated by whether it's a minchas marchashes or a minchas machavas or whatever, right? How the mincha is prepared means a fundamentally different type of chafetza shel karban, just like Ola and Shlomim and Chatas. And Lavona does not play any role in the difference between the various types of menachos, only what you do with the flour and the oil. And if you look at the Pesukim themselves, so the Lavona is not really included in the Chafetza Shel Mincha at all for any of them. Torah says, for example, V'chisakar karba mincha ma'fei sanur. So if you wanted to bring that mincha, soles, chalos, matzos, belulos, bashemen. So that mincha is chalos, matzos with oil. You want to bring mincha al machavas. So once again, soles, belulo, bashemen. You want to bring a marchashes, soles, bashemen, teyasa. All the psukim, when it describes the preparation of the chafetza shel mincha, it only mentions the soles and the shemen. So even though we have Rabbi Shimon on Dav Vav telling us that the core of the mincha is the flour, there still does seem to be a difference between the oil and the lavona. The shemen really is still integrated as a part of the mincha once it's needed. The lavona, you get the sense, is just a separate entity. And on the other hand, when the Torah talks about burning the mincha. So there, all of a sudden, the lavona seems to play a much bigger role. Torah says, "V'kamas misham lo kumtzo misalta mishamna al kol lavonasa." Right, which we learn from there that the komitz itself has to be only soles and shemen. But if you take from the soles and the shemen, al kol lavonasa. And then the Torah says this funny line: "V'hiktir hakohen es azkarasa." The Kohen is going to burn the azkara, the remembrance, whatever that means. Hamizbecha ishei reich nichoach l'Hashem. So what is the azkara? So Rashi says that the azkara just means the komitz, and that what it means to, you know, the memory refers to that the komitz is representing the all of the shirayim, which we talked about when we did Ein Basar Ein Dam. So it's called an azkara because it's the one komitz, but that's representing the rest of the mincha. But if you look at the Rashbam or the Ibn Ezra, they say no. They say azkarasa, the real focus of the chumash, when it talks about the haktara, is actually on the lavona. The Rashbam even quotes a pasuk in Yeshayo from the Rosh Chodesh Haftorah, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Haftorah, where does the Navi say? Mazkir lavona mivarech oven. Right, when Yeshayah is talking about all the people who are bringing karbanos that Hashem doesn't want, and after all, you know, what bias could he make for Hashem? So he refers to burning of Lavona as Mazkir Lavona. So says Rashbam, Azkarasa, the memory seems to refer to the Reach Nichoach, the smell of the Lavona. Rashbam also points you to Pasuk and Parshas Emor, which he and Rashi both interpret Lishitas, you know, for both of them, it's Lishitaso. Torah and Emor is talking about bringing the lechem apanim, and we know the lechem apanim is kind of funny because the bread itself is on the shulchan, but you don't burn any of the bread on the mizbeach. You take the two bezichon of lavona and you burn those as a standalone. So Torah says, "V'nesat al hamarechas lavona zaka." You're going to take lavona from the shulchan. V'haysal alechem lazkara. It's an azkara for the lechem ishel Hashem. So doesn't mean that the lavona is the azkara for the lechem. So Rashi there says, oh, just like the komates is the representative for the shirayim in regular menachos, lechem apanim, the lavona is the representative for the lechem apanim. But the Rashbam says, absolutely not. When it says, haysal lechem le'azkara ishel Hashem, that means that burning lavona is referred to as an azkar. So you have this term, which is, you know, the focus of the burning of the mincha. A couple of mafarshim are saying that exclusively even refers to the lavona, and this is the kind of situation where, you know, Lichtenstein or Rosenzweig for sure say, can imagine that when you have a term that can be used to refer to either one, right? It's like might be what they call deliberate ambiguity, right? It's a line that it's not a coincidence that it could refer to the komates and it could refer to the lavona, and in fact that's exactly what the haksav v'hakabala. Right. See, he says that, yeah, the Azkara, it has a dual meaning. It means the komates, and it also means the Lavona. So then we come out of just the Pesukim, before getting to any of the Gemaras, with the implication that the Lavona is not part of the Chafetz Shel Mincha, but that it is an essential, and maybe even the essential part of the Haktara process. Okay. Now, if that was true, though, right, this is going to get complicated, because if we really thought, you know, kipshuto, that the lavona is not part of the karb mincha at all, so we have to ask a very basic question. Why do I need to put the lavona into the mincha bichlal? I should just have the soles and the shemen, do the blila, make the mincha, do the kmitza, and then separately burn the lavona along with the kmitza. Why do I have to put the lavona into the klishari? So that might militate, right, in the other direction that the, what?
Can we translate?
What, militate? Oh, sorry, Yasi. It's going to push you into the other direction to say that lavona maybe is part of the chafetz shel mincha. You know, it's like fighting to get you to say that it's part of the chafetz shel mincha. Right. And so that is the exact issue that seems to come out of these two views in Rashi in different places as to how exactly one would put the Lavona into the Mincha. Rashi here on the top of Yad Aleph Amud Aleph, it's coming out of this Brisa and Sota, which describes the whole process of preparing a Mincha. So he says that what you would do is you'd put the Lavona on the Mincha. It sounds like you'd put it on the entire Mincha. And then before the Kamitza, to make sure that you don't have any Lavona in your Komitz, you'll brush the Lavona off to the side. Which, like, sounds very inconvenient, right? Because, like, why couldn't I just put it on the side to begin with? Now I have this problem. And in fact, that's exactly what Rashi al-Torah says, Koden Taras Konim. Rashi Koden Taras Konim has a riboy achar riboy. It sounds like there's the exact opposite. There's a din that you should not put the Lavona on the middle of the Mincha. Taras Konim tells you should specifically put the Lavona on the side. So you have, on the one hand, Taras Konim is telling you, don't put the Lavona with the rest of the Mincha. Put it just on the side. And then you have the Brisa and Sota that's telling you, no, put it on the entire Mincha and then brush it and then brush it before Kamitza. It sounds like there's a conceptual machlokas between these two views, the view of the Gemara and Sota versus the Taras Konim. Gemara and Sota is emphasizing you want to create that connection between the Lavona and the Mincha, and therefore you'll specifically spread it over the whole thing and then do, you know, brush it off to the side to facilitate the Kamitza. Masha Inkin, Taras Konim, that says, no, don't do that at all. You're going to specifically keep it just on the side, and then you'll go weiter from there. In fact, just, you know, one point in the Tosefta, because the Tosefta also is this exact same as the Gemara and Sota, right? The Tosefta here, I think Aleph Yud, says basically the same thing, that you're going to put the Lavona on the Mincha and then brush it off to the side. So elsewhere in the Tosefta, in Perek Hey, the Tosefta has a very, very funny line. The Tosefta here, Menachos. I think Parakei Menachos. It's a very funny line. The Tosefta says, if you, yes, and I saw. Remember, he says, if you do the Kamitza from not from the Makom Hashemen, that's a psul. So that's okay. The Kamitza is supposed to be from the flour and the oil. So if you did it from a dry spot that had no oil, the Mincha is going to be pasul. But then the Tosefta continues and it says, and if you did the Kamitza not from the Makom Levona, it's also pasul. And that doesn't make any sense, because what do you mean I did the Kamitza not from the Makom Levona? There's not supposed to be any Levona in my Mincha. So, you know, we saw the Chazon Yecheskel tries to deal with it. A couple of Mepharshim want to change the Girsa. But if you take the Girsa of Tosefta as we have it, then what Tosefta seems to be telling you is that, no, like you said in the beginning, you put the Lavona on the whole Mincha, and then you're going to brush it off, but the Kamitza has to be from a place where the Lavona was, right? So it's like doubling down on this connection between the Lavona and the Mincha. A, make sure that the Lavona is over the whole thing, and B, make sure that the Kamitza is from a spot where there used to be Lavona. Yeah, Yassi. Okay, look, if you want to be the Vilna Gaon, you can say that, but, you know, the way we have it, you know, I don't want to run around changing Girsas. The Rav Chaska Bramsky did not want to change the Girsa, I thought, right? He's like trying, oh, maybe there's a Mechitza in your Kli, you know, and it's like kind of weird. But if we take it Kipshuto, that could be the idea.
Also, do you really find Zachopilin? Meaning, Rashi, when you put in the Tosefta, when you put it inside the Kli, you still take the Lavona, and you put it in a Kli Sharis with the rest of your menu. Like, that already implies there's a connection.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that the Taras Konim does not have to be so radically different. You're saying, okay, very nice that, at this, you know, we're not telling you to put it over the whole thing, but it still maybe is telling that the Taras Konim is telling you to put it in the Mincha Bechlal.
Right.
Right. Okay, it totally could be. In other words, you want to say that L'kuli Alma, there is a connection between Lavona and the Mincha, and just the question is, you know, maybe one of convenience. Should you put it over the whole thing or just put it over the side? Okay, could be. I asked, I sent an email to Professor Kanefogel asking him about this steer between Rashi on Al-Ashas and Rashi on the Chumash, because I was wondering maybe Rashi and the Chumash is more likely to quote from the Medrash Halacha, which are like, you know, on the spot, like kind of like Rashi, that's like Rashi's local sugya. So he said he thought it was possible, and that Rashi generally is, you know, not so, can, you know, for sure, if there's not really a stira, then he definitely would not be hesitant to do that. So that definitely could be.
The best part about that book was?
Send me his book. He's got a PDF of the book.
Which one?
The Apostates. or the apostates.
Wow.
Brothers from afar.
Very cool.
Very cool.
But in general, Rashi's left after passing a lot of weeks in this conversation.
Right.
Kumish.
Right.
Kumish.
For sure. For sure. Okay. The, I don't know if you saw, the Minchas Avram gets like a little bit into the weeds on this because he's quoting this Brisker Rav who thinks that there's a din nesina, which it kind of sounds like the pasuk, because the pasuk says v'nasana la lavona. So he's wondering maybe it has to be done bifnim, putting lavona the mincha. Okay, all right. Let's not get into that so much, but we do have to be yotze because he does quote the Gur Aryeh, right? And the Gur Aryeh asks, why don't you need a kohen for putting the lavona on the mincha, especially the view of Rabbi Shimon on Daf Yud Ches, who says that the whole preparation of the mincha requires a kohen. So the yitzika and the belila, Rabbi Shimon says need a kohen. So why shouldn't the putting the lavona in there need a kohen? It's together in the pasuk with everything else. And the Gur Aryeh says, well, ein hamincha naase baze. Right, the mincha is not made. You're not advancing the cause of the Chafetz Shel Mincha by putting in the Lavona. And that works great for Rashi Al HaTorah, because Rashi Al HaTorah was quoting a Taras Kohanim who said, you just put the Lavona on the side. So, and Gur Aryeh, I believe, is, they tell me he's interpreting Rashi Al HaTorah. Right, it's Perish on Rashi Al HaTorah. That's exactly. Right? So apparently the Maharal did not learn like Yassi, because the Maharal apparently thought that Rashi Al HaTorah is telling you, no, you put the Lavona on the side, in Hamin Chana Sebazah. So that is like the first major nafkamina in this question about the relationship between the Lavona and the rest of the Mincha. The next one, probably the biggest one and the most surprising one.
You're suggesting now that Gur Aryeh means don't put it in at all?
No, he's saying, no, you put it in, but you're not changing or creating anything new in the Chafetz Shel Mincha. It's in the bowl, but it's not part of the Chafetz Shel Mincha, and that's why even Rabbi Shimon does not think that it requires a kohen. Yeah. Okay. So the second major nafkamina is our whole sugya andaf yud alef, I'm an alef from a beis, the question of chiser levonasa, right? What happens if some of the levona went missing? Now we have this machlokas in the Tanaim. Rabbi Meir says the view that we all should have hoped for and expected, which is, you need the sheer lavona the whole way through. Just like the komates, if you miss a drop of the komates, it's pasul. That's the Mishnah on Daf Chav Zayin. Apologies for the wrong tzir of the Marmakomos. Just like we saw the whole question of the shirayim. The mincha is super sensitive. That was like the ground zero, sugya for the idea of the chafta shel mincha, was that if any of it goes missing, right, even after the kmitza, according to Reish Lakish, you're missing some of the shirayim, the carbon is pasul. And according to Reish Lakish, it's not possible, but you still can't eat the shirayim. So there was like an extreme sensitivity to missing a piece of the lavon, the piece of the komates, or a piece of the shirayim, or a piece of the mincha, right, mincha shechasra, and then you do a kmitza, it's pasul. So Rebbe says, Baruch Hashem, same thing with lavona. Come along, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and they say something crazy. They say that's not true. If you have, as long as you have either one korate of lavona or two kratim of lavona, right? The lavona was dried sap. So the way it would come in the stores is the sap would dry, and we sold these like these little flecks of dried out sap frankincense. So you have like one, shmeklach of lavona or two. It's like barely anything, and that's enough. Which, you just have, you have to sit and scratch your head and wonder, why is there this huge discrepancy? Where, for Menachos, we're even more machmir than Zvachim on Chisaron, but Lavona, we're like as laid back as you possibly could be. And this gets even more extreme in the view of the Rambam, according to a couple of the Achronim, who say, you look at the Rambam, and the Rambam in the Psulim Mekdashin is telling you, how it works, b'di'evit. The Rambam just tells you that that it's possible if you have less than two kratim. Sounds in the Rambam like you never, ever needed to have a komates of lavona. Right? In other words, this is still a very surprising view, according to, let's say, Rashi, who says for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, originally you had to have a komates of lavona, b'shas kamitza. If you lost a bunch of it afterwards, then it's still going to be okay, b'di'evit. According to the Rambam, says the Sfasem, says the Or Sameach, this sounds like it is the view in the Taras Kohanim also. All you need Lamaskana is two Kratim of Lavona. So how on earth can that be true? What does that even mean? So the simplest way to look at the Machlokas and the Tanaim is to say that according to Rabbi Meir, on the level of Bidyevet.
Even the Lashon is Bidyevet, it's like mitzvah gedolah.
Yeah, so it was like, what's it was?
Yeah, it was only like, was it mitzvah yisera?
You're saying it was like not even such, he thought it wasn't even such a bidyevedik bidyevet. No, I think he was medayik in the Torah, and yeah, it's Sfasemes. The Or Sameach was medayik in the Torah Sekonim, that's the way it sounded. So if that's, if, according to the Rambam, if that's where you line up the Machlokas Tanoim, so then they very, very clearly seem to be arguing whether the Lavona is part of the Mincha, Shitas Rabbi Meir, or no. What's Lavona? Lavona is basically it's like the dip for your komets, right? You want your komets to smell nice. So you have to have some Lavona in there. Does it really matter how... Okay, so Yehuda has, Darshan's the S, and you have to have two Kratin instead of one. You know, okay, that's how the Darshan, the Pasuk. But all you need, really, really, the Lavona is just there for the smell, right? It's not there for the Chefetz at all. It's just there for the Haktara. It's just there for the Rech Nichoach. So Bidyeved, Shnei Kratim are going to be enough. You could ask, according to Rashi, how does Rashi understand the view of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who thinks that you do need the komets b'shas kmitza? That really does sound like it is still part of the mincha, right? Because the shas kmitza is what's koveya for what the mincha is, and then afterwards a chisaron is okay. I don't know, but that's for sure for the Rambam. Should just point out there's another interesting view in the Rishon about this, which is there in the Rash Mishantz. A couple of Mepharshim think this is how the Rambam learned this idea, but this is explicit in the Rash Mishantz. Rash Mishantz thinks that for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, you absolutely need a komets of Lavona. At what point? B'sha'as hafrasha. When you bring the Lavona from home, you need a komets. But if almost all of it disappeared even before the kmitza, that's okay. So we need to figure out why should that be true. Like we said, when it came to a chisaron in the mincha, we said the shas kmitza was the key point, right? Remember, Rabbi Yochanan said if you lost some of your shemen, you can go home and get more as long as it's before kmitza. So why should the point of hafrasha be so pivotal? It sounds like the way the Rashi Shantz is understanding it is that the key about bringing a Lavona, a komets of Lavona, is not so much for the shear of the carbon, but that it's like a requirement on the bailim. You know, you have to go to this expenditure. You know, especially if we think that part of the idea of the carbon mincha is it's the carbon, you know, it's you bringing stuff, right? As opposed to, you know, like this is we saw, Rav Hirsch and Rav Moshe Lichtenstein had this idea. It's like Ashkafic, but you know, it's still important. That they say that the mincha is not, you know, the zevach is you sacrificing yourself, kaviyachol, you're bringing yourself, but the mincha is about you bringing your possessions. So it's Rashi Shantz that the real key question is not whether the komets of Lavona was there, b'shas kmitza, making it part of the carbon, but just you had to bring it. You had to lay out the money, write the check for the Lavona. That seems relevant to that view. But whatever, for the Rambam, this seems like a very, very clear nafka mina to the basic question. Rehud and Rabbi Shimon who think that bidyeved, a chisar and lavona is okay, that's because it's not part of the chafta shel mincha at all. It's just, you know, it's just the dip for your komets. One other place where this same machlokas plays out is the Minchas Avram quotes an interesting machlokas between Rav Chaim and Chazon Ish, which is, let's say, Baruch Hashem, I didn't lose any of my lavona. Right, so I go to the Mizbeach and I take the Lavona to burn it, and instead of burning the entire komets of Lavona, I only burn a couple of Kratim. Do we say that burning two Kratim of Lavona when everything is there, do we say that that's enough and you've totally fulfilled the mitzvah of Hakravas Lavona, and now you've been matir the mincha? Or do we say, no, if the whole thing is there, you have to bring the whole thing? Chazon Ish says, if all the lavona is there, then I don't fulfill the kiyum haktara until I burn the whole thing. Because the way the Chazon Ish seems to understand the view of Rabbi Yehuda Rishimon is that there we're just having flexibility on what the shear of lavona is. You need to burn whatever you have. Okay, so if you lost some of it, that's going to be okay. The real shear is komates. And if you lost some, the komates can, you know, it's like a rubber band. If, you know, if everything's there, it'll be tight. And if it, you know, you lose some, it's gonna be looser. So, but if I have the whole komates of lavona there, says the Chazanitz, that's the shear lavona. So you have to burn the whole thing. You're not yotzei before that. Rav Chaim says no. And Rav Chaim works out very well in this whole Rambam view. Rav Chaim says all you need for the kiyum haktara is two dots of lavona. I don't care if you lost the rest of it. I don't care if it's all sitting here and you're just being slow in how you do the burning. All you need is two kratim, because there's no shear komates really in the kiyum at all. All you need is just to have a nice smell, you know, as part of your burning for the kiyum. So that whole view very clearly seems to divide between the mincha and the lavona. Okay, a couple others which should go pretty quickly. I don't know, did anybody here get to see the Gemara on Daf Yud Gimel yet? Okay, so it's really right. It's a really really what in the middle of it. It's a really interesting Gemara. It's beginning to get us to talk about Pigel, which is going to be we're going to focus on for the next couple of weeks. The basic rule with Pigel is that you make a carbon into Pigel when you do avoda on a matir with the intent to consume something at the wrong time. Right, so a classic case would be I shecht the carbon, right? So I'm doing an avoda on the dam, which is the matir for the carbon. I can't eat the carbon until I sprinkle the dam. So when I shecht the carbon, I have in mind I'm going to eat the basar on the wrong day. Right? That's your stereotypical, that's your classic case of pigul. Avoda on the matir in order to have a consumption later. Why am I using the word consumption? Because it can refer to either the person eating or the mizbeach burning. Those are both considered consumption in order to have pigul. So the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel quotes this machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. If you have a mincha and I take the kmitza with the intent to burn the lavona tomorrow, is that pigul? So the Chachamim say, yes, that is pigul. Which makes sense, right? That's like, that's what you expect, because I'm doing an avoda on the matir, right? First, I have to, the kmitza is the matir, with intent to burn the lavona on the wrong day. Come say it's pigul. Okay, we'll talk about, you know, pigul b'chatzi matir, and this is going to get much more complicated. But for now, the Chachamim are very, very simple. Rabbi Yossi says no. Rabbi Yossi says there's no pigul. Why is there no pigul? I did kmitza for burning tomorrow. That sounds like classic. That sounds like classic pigul. So Rabbi Yossi there says in the Mishnah, there's no pigul here because the lavona is not part of the lavona ina min hamincha. Is what he says. Lavona is not part of the mincha. So you know, if this is just a Mishnah class, we'd be like ecstatic, because this would be literally an explicit machlokas tanaim in the Mishnah, which is our whole question. Rabbi Yossi is telling me the lavona and the mincha are totally separate. So you can't make the lavona pigul by doing an avoda on the kmitza, because the kmitza, that's the flour, that's the oil, that's a whole different system from lavona. You can't cross the tracks. And the Chacham say no. Chacham say, it's not a coincidence you put the lavona in the kli of the rest of the mincha. It is, it's part of the mincha, so you can have pigul. That's what you'd think from the Mishnah. Right? You turn to, that's, you know, you get to, that's Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. You're very happy on Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. You turn to Yud Gimel Amid Beis, and the Gemara is talking about what they argue about. And Reish Lakish says, no, actually, they're arguing about something else seemingly entirely. Says Reish Lakish, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about this detailed halacha and pigul, whether you can have one matir make another matir pigul. What's going on over here? So he said, classic pigul is you do an avoda on the matir in order to do the consumption later. But burning lavona is a very tricky case, because burning lavona, on the one hand, is a consumption, right? You're burning lavona on the mizbeach. But the burning lavona also serves as a matir, because you're not supposed to eat from the carbon until you've brought everything, and so therefore burning lavona still serves as a matir for eating the shirayim. So says Reish Lakish, one matir according to Rabbi Yossi does not make another matir, can't make another matir pigul. That's the halacha in pigul, right? A komates for the shirayim, no problem, that's pigul. Komates for lavona, that's not pigul, because lavona is also a matir just like the komates is. So Gemara then says, well, you know, that's very interesting, but you just destroyed this whole geshmak lashon you had from the Mishnah. You know, the Mishnah said, they were arguing, the point was that the lavona is not part of the mincha. And we were all excited, because that's the machol, you know, the tanaim, so you're arguing about the relationship between lavona and the mincha. So what the Gemara, you know, ends up getting to is basically it restores seems to restore that lamdus. Because the Gemara says, well, the Chachamim, in theory, agree with Rabbi Yossi. Chachamim think that, generally speaking, one matir cannot make another matir into pigul. But this is an exception, because these two matirim, the komates and lavona, are very, very closely related, because you put them into the kli shareis together. They were ikvu bechad mana. So it sounds like the Chachamim are telling us that putting the lavona with the mincha, putting them in the same kli, fundamentally links them at the hip, and therefore you still can have pigul go from komates to lavona, even though in generally that violates the rule of ein matir mefagel es hamatir. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees, either because he thinks that there's no exceptions, you never have an exception, always we say ein matir mefagel es hamatir, or because he just isn't impressed with this view of the relationship between the lavona and the mincha. He said, okay, for some reason, let's put them in the same kli. I don't know why that is, but I read Tarshim Echsav, it sounds like Lavona is not part of the Chavta Shal Mincha, and sorry, that's not enough of a connection for me to be impressed. I'm going to stick with my guns. We'll apply the regular rule of Ein Matir Mefagel Es HaMatir. So the Maskana of the Gemara still can really indicate that the Tanoim are arguing there about this exact question, relationship between Mincha and Lavona. Just a couple more nafkaminas, and then we'll switch over for a minute to talk about the relationship between the lavona and the komitz. As one, like, very, very straightforward nafkamina, which comes from this machlogas between the Binchas Chinach and the Mikdash David. We know that, you know, menachos can come in all shapes and sizes. You know, for up from one isaron to 60. For every isaron of flour, you have to add a proportionate amount of shemen. Right? There's a lug shemen for every yisaron of flour. So what about lavona? Do I have to increase the proportion of lavona as well? Do I have to have a komates of lavona for every yisaron of flour and lug of shemen? So Mechassinach thinks that you do. Mikdash David quotes this, and he's very upset. He says, I have no idea what Makad Mechassinach had for this. I never see anywhere that you have to proportionally increase your lavona. Where's the Mikdash David? Ches Beis. I don't know the exact Rascal, but it's on the Marmokomos. It's in Ches Beis. This exact question is batted around in the Taras Kohanim. Taras Kohanim says, what should we do? How much lavona do you need? Do I compare lavona to the shemen, which is increased in proportion, or do I compare the lavona to the komates? And I don't care how big or small my mincha is, right? We only ask the kohen to take one komates of mincha for the avodah sakamitza. So maybe so too, we should only ask the kohen, we should only ask you to bring one komates of lavona. That machlokas is on Taras Kohanim. It sounds like Taras Kohanim's maskana is that you only bring one komates of lavona, no matter what. And why is that? What is the difference between shemen and lavona? Why are you proportionally increasing your shemen but not proportionally increasing your lavona? If you look at the Rashmi Shant, right, it's not really the Rashmi Shant. I think it's one of the Chachmi Provence. The Rashmi Shant says there on the side, and it's right there. He says, Svara islomer de lo bayafilu mincha gedola ela komets lavona. He says that the Svara, they only need a komets of lavona, even for a big mincha. Why? Ho wil ve'ina migufa de mincha. It's not part of the gufa de mincha. Right, it's just an accoutrement, as they'd say. It just comes alongside the mincha. It's just there for the smell. So all I need is one komets of lavon. Right, so we can think of this whole view. You know, the Rambam is telling you that if you lost a bunch of your lavona, that's okay. Or even if you never had a bunch of your lavona, that's okay, because all I need is the smell. And over here, there's like the parallel case, right? You're making the mincha bigger and bigger and bigger, but you never need more than one komets of lavona. It's just there for the haktara and the reich lichavach. It's not really being integrated with the chafetza shel mincha. Right? That exact question is going on over here. The Midas HaKodesh, right? Our favorite book over there. I'm trying to get copies of. So he has a little footnote where he talks about this question also, the relationship between lavona and the mincha. You don't know about it? Oh, I'll have to talk after talk at the Chabura. It's a phenomenal sefer. Very, very helpful. Sefer on the Avodos. So he actually quotes, you know, he has a couple of nafkamina which are related, connected to the question of salting your mincha. The Gemara on Daf Chaf, here Menachos, which we're probably going to skip, unfortunately, but, you know, good to know about it. So the Gemara on Daf Chaf says, you know, we know we have to salt all karbanos, but that includes Lavona. The Lavona has to be salted. Why does Lavona have to be salted? I'm bringing a mincha. I already was yotze the salting when I burned the komates. Why do I also need to salt the Lavona? So the Gemara says, Marba ani es ha-Lavona, shekin ba'ima b'kli achad. You have to salt Lavona as well, even though you already salted the komates, because the lavona is brought in the same kli as the komates. So, I mean, Yiskosh said, he says, look at the Chidush HaRashba on that Gemara, which I tried to look at just now during Seder, but it seemed very long. So I didn't see the Lashon of the Rashba. This is just his report of it. And he says, the Rashba has two deos. The Rashba is not sure how to interpret this Gemara. He said, maybe this Gemara means that...
Where is this Gemara, sorry?
Tafchaf, Chafim and Aleph. He says, maybe the Gemara just means that the Lavona is not part of the Mincha, but okay, it's brought in the same Kli, so anything that's in the same Kli has to have Malicha. That's just Halacha that's being learned. Okay, or, says the Rashba, no, what do we learn from here? We're learning that the Lavona is actually part of the Mincha itself, and therefore, just like the Mincha requires salting, so does the Lavona. Apparently, this question is two deos right there in the Rashba and Daf Chaf. He has a couple of cool nafkamina. I'm just going to quote one because I thought it was really, really interesting. There's a Gemara. Where is the Gemara that he quotes? I want to say Zvachim Pei Gimel, but I'm not entirely sure. Sorry. It's here. It's Menachos, I think, on Daf Chaf Aleph. I'm sorry. The Gemara, right, which is talking about salting the karban, we'll double check after. And you know the way the halacha is you do not have to bring the salt for your karban. The salt is supplied by the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara has a havmina though that you should have to bring your own salt. And the Gemara says, why should I have to bring my own salt? Well, when I bring a mincha, says the Gemara, I have to bring my own lavona. So just like I have to bring my own lavona, I also maybe should have to bring my own melach. So the question to ask about this is kind of arbitrary, right? There are three ingredients to a mincha. You bring flour, oil, and lavona. So why is the Gemara specifically focusing on the lavona and saying just like you have to bring lavona from home, so too I would think you have to bring melach from home. I don't know. Ask about anything you ever bring from home. It's a very, very arbitrary Gemara. So he suggests that no, you would think that salt and lavona are really, really they're extremely similar. What do they share in common? They are not part of the carbon you're bringing, they are the accoutrements to the carbon that you're bringing. I salt my carbon, and I sprinkle my carbon with lavona, right? These are the two spices that I put on the carbon. It's not part of the carbon itself. So therefore, I really would have had a havamina that just like I have to bring my own lavona from home, you know, now the restaurant doesn't supply, they bring the, they give you the pepper on the table, but they don't give me lavona. You got to bring that from home. Havamina, I'd have to bring the melach from home also. That's a suggestion that he makes.
This is the Midas HaKodesh also?
That's the Midas HaKodesh also. He has one other one, but it's a little detailed. So we'll pass on for now. But definitely Ayin Sham. He's really, really good. He's really good. The last one on the relationship between Lavona and Mincha, we've already discussed. We should just remember it, which is the question of Ein Basar Ein Dam. What is the relationship between the Shirayim and the Lavona? And earlier we saw the Minchas Avram quoted a couple of Achronim, I think it was the Chazon Yechezkel and the Chasdei David on the Tosefta, who thought that even though we know there's a halacha that if you lost some of your Shirayim before burning the komates, that you can't eat it anymore, right? That's a psul achila. But they think that if you lost some of the Shirayim before you burned the Lavona, there's no psul achila. No psul achila. He was very upset. He's like, I don't know, why should there be a difference? There's a psul of mincha shirayim shachasru, so there are two matirim for the mincha. One is the komates, and one is the lavona. So there should be a psul shirayim, there should be a psul shirayim shachasru across the board. But the response to that seems to be that no, the relationship, right, this very mechodesh din of shirayim shachasru is a psul achila. Well, that strong relationship is specifically between the shirayim and the komates. The lavona is not part of the chefta shel mincha. There is no special relationship between the lavona and the shirayim. So if you're missing some of the shirayim before burning lavona, that's okay. That's totally beseder. You can even ask, I think he asks at the end, maybe there is not a psul of ein basar ein dam for lavona. Let's say you lost all your shirayim. Can you still go weiter and burn the lavona? Maybe you can. Maybe you can, right? That also would flow from this question, how are we looking at this lavona, right? On the one hand, we have all this, a bunch of people who are saying that it's part of the mincha. Your chafetz shel mincha has to include lavona. So it's going to keep the same shear, and you have to put it in the kli, and you put it on, you know, on the surface of the kli, and you have to, the shear stays uniform. On the other hand, there's this other view out there, that the chafetz shel mincha is just the soles and the shemen. Lavona is totally separate. So, right, another one of these issues will be maybe there's no problem of shirayim shachasru, maybe not even a problem of ein basar ein dam. Okay, so a couple minutes at the end. So we should also think about the fact, we could evaluate the relationship between lavona and the mincha, but we also need to ask about the relationship between the lavona and the komates, right? Because these are the two parts of the carbon which are being burned. Do we look at them as integrated? There's really one burning of lavona and komates. Remember that Haksav HaKabbalah who said the Azkara, right, that the Chumash put them together. The Azkara was the komates and lavona. Or are they? Are there two? There are two things you have to do. One, burn the komates, and two, burn the lavona. So, on the one hand, we'll talk about this, but the whole sugya of pigul bechatzi matir, right? If you, we said before that in order to have pigul, so it has to be doing a voda on a matir in order to consume something in the wrong time. So the question is, what if the thing you want to eat has two different matirin? Does pigul in one of those two matirin make it pigul or not? Machlokas between the Chum and Rabbi Meir on Daf Tezayin, big sugya. The classic case of pigul b'chatzi matir is menachos, because all the shirayim of a mincha have two things that need to be done to be checked off to make it edible. Right, one, you have to burn the komates; two, you have to burn the lavona. So that whole discussion definitely sounds like they're not mamish one thing. But on the other hand, a couple of points. One, the Braisa and Sota says explicitly, the Rambam passes this way, What did the burning of the Lavona look like? What was the process? What did you actually do? Bryson Sota says, you would not have one kli shares of komets and another kli shares of Lavona. Gemara Sota says, you put the Lavona on the komets. You put them together and burn the whole thing, right? So it's kashmak. Like you're burning, it makes a lot of sense. Your haftara that you're burning, the komets, now has a reich nichoa, right? It's like, what the pasuk really sound like it was saying. That's what the Rambam says. That really sounds like we're integrating the two. Rashi on Daf Yud Gimel, I saw the Mishnah Malach quoted it and was like very, very bothered. Very, very difficult, Rashi. Rashi thinks that that's not what happens. Rashi says, you scoop up the rest of the Lavona off of the Mincha after Haktaras HaKomets. The way Rashi describes the procedure, it sounds like you do the Kemitza, then you take the Kemitza to the Mizbeach and burn the Komets. You go back to your Klisharis, scoop up the Lavona, and burn that as well. Totally, radically diverging between the two, right? You don't even have a separate Lavona while the Kemitza exists. In the Torah Shlema, he quotes this, and he quotes, I think, the Har HaMoria. I don't know who the Sefer Har HaMoria is, but Torah Shlema is quoting him as a big Talmud Chacham, who's so bothered by this Rashi that he wants to just change the whole Gersa and turn Rashi into Rambam and say that all Rashi was really saying was that you don't have to, you scoop up the Lavona after Kemitza, not after Haktara. Okay. Could be, but you know, all we have is Rashi in front of us. Rashi in front of us sounds like it really is splitting the Komets and Lavona from each other, while Rambam and the Gemara Sota are putting them together. And then the last point to highlight this issue is this other Mikdash David, who asks an interesting question. There's a machlokas, apparently, I haven't been able to see it inside, but there's a machlokas, I think, in the Gemara, whether you have a Shem Haktara on less than a Kezias. Do I need to burn a Kezias to be a Shem Haktar? So the Mikdash David asks, well, can you combine Komets and Lavona to get a Shir Kezias so that it's considered a Haktara? So for our purposes, so what does he say? He has interesting proof. He says, it must be that you can put them together. Why? Because what do we say was the Bidyeved shear for Lavona? Two kratim. So I understand, if the shear is two kratim, what happened to in Haktar Pachas mi Kezias? So he says, what do you do? You have your two kratim of Lavona, you put it on your mincha, it's a starry from Baruch Hashem, now you have a shear Kezias, and you can invite her, right? So that's what Mikdash David wants to prove, that Lavona and the Komets are mitzvah to get you to a shear of Kezias. And Mikdash David isn't so sure, because he says, look, you know the answer really to this could be, in general, there's a halacha that you need a kezias for it to be a haktara. But look, when Torah is telling you that there's a special chiddush that Lavona only needs two kratim, so it means there's an exception for Lavona, right? Don't bother me, it's an exception. Lavona only needs less than kezias. So he says that's not necessarily a great proof. But, you know, for us to think about this question, we really could think of it, you know, I think in two different ways. Because let's say we could understand that you need that you if the Lavona and the Komets are mitzdarif l'shir. So that clearly shows us that they integrate. Right? Because there are different things. They combine, they gave you a shir kezias. But even if we think that they are not mitzdarif l'shir, that you need a kezias of Komets besides the Lavona, we still can say that they're absolutely integrated. If they're integrated, why isn't there a tzeiruf? Because what exactly is this relationship between them? Is it a merging of equals? Or maybe, and probably very likely, the komates is the ikker. The real substance you're burning is the komates. And the Lavona is tefel to the komates. Because all Lavona is doing is making sure that this komates has a reich nichalach. Right? So, you know, if this is not an equal relationship, just a joining of two things into one, but that we think of it as the komates is the ikker, and Lavona is just the tafel to bring the reich nichoach, then we still can say, yeah, absolutely, they integrate. You got to bring them together. I'm the Gemara Sota. Of course, they have to be in the same klisharis. But that's not going to get you a shear, because to be mitzarif l'shear, we have to have just the komet itself, because that's the ikar. So, you know, we close from the whole sugya with this funny element of lavona, which is part of the mincha, whether it's a standalone, you know, sidecar just to bring you the smell, or it's being integrated into the chafta shamincha itself, seems to be machloka. Sorry, going back to the Tanaim, we've seen a bunch of nafkamina. And then at the same time, you know, we have to ask the relationship between the lavona then and the komets, are they totally separate? Are they totally joined? And if they're joined, are they together, you know, as like as equals, or is one the ikker and one the tafel?
Would you say that those two questions are also likely related, meaning the more that the lavona in the first question is a chilek from the gofa mincha, and the chafshas mincha, the more likely that the komets and the komets of the lavona and the komets of the mincha are more likely to be more related or equals or whatever it might be, considering that they're both a segment of the mincha, which has to have hatara. And mashenkein, if the komets is, if the lavona is really from the get-go a completely separate thing, so then more likely when you talk about the hatara, so it's more likely that hatara is also going to be kind of like a separate track.
Right, could be, but
muchrach, I'm just saying.
Right, exactly. I don't think it's muchrach because I'll tell you what I think might be muchrach, but that I don't think it's totally muchrach because you could just say that yeah, the reason why lavona doesn't integrate with the mincha is because it's the whole time it's focusing on the haktara, and once we get to haktara and we have our komets, so right, that's when it's like going to wake up. But what I do think
in
is
that more direction, right? In that direction, you could say that even if the lavona is not integrated into mincha, so then it could still be more integrated into the komets. But you're saying in the other direction,
right,
though, I think it's harder to say that it's integrated into mincha. But it's not.
But
I'm just saying
there's
two totally.
Right. Separate. Yeah. I hear that. I would think that if it's
because it's still serving the same. If it's integrated the mincha, it's integrated because it's not just a reyach nichoach. So suddenly, when it comes to the Tara, it's just going to be like a reyach nichoach for the komets. It's like a funny.
Right.
Right. It's like a funny type of.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I interrupted you. You were going to say something.
No. I've lost my train of thought. And it probably didn't make any sense.
I apologize.